the 70th, can't believe we're actually saying that, 70th episode of the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. Today, I will be your co-host, Sophie Dimelow, and we do have the main host, Andrew Moran. Hi, Andrew, how are you doing?
I'm good. I say, normally I'll try and do the intros, but I've tried to do the guest name and I'm just going to butcher it, so I will leave you to do the intro today, so...
Very honoured, and I would like to welcome you on your year, Madam Bucco. Thank you so much for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure, and I mean, me specifically, I can't wait to hear more about you and your experience as a woman in tech. So would you like to give us a brief introduction about yourself and what you currently do?
Okay, thank you for having me here, Sophie and Andrew. Currently, I'm a modern workplace consultant with Avanade. Period to that, I've been working in the IT industry for more than a decade now, counting up to 15. It's been a roller coaster for me, because coming from the engineering background, after school, I was trying to figure out what I want to do. So I studied electrical electronics engineering, and wanting to focus more on the communication aspect. And I had dabbled into a lot of career paths, networking, customer service, telecommunication, and finally I was able to get the path of the consultant, which I really want to go to, and what are the area where I'm currently working on. So it's been so far good. It has its challenges, but I'm good with it as well.
Thank you so much for that. So I guess to start off then, you said that after school you went into engineering. What was it that, first of all, interested you in engineering and going down that path? And what were your interests in school? Do you think to then be where you are today?
Okay, so I would say growing up as a child, I was very curious, always raising my hands, asking questions. So I didn't really do play with the Barbie thing or the dolly thing. I always love to fix things. So I see electronic gadget lying somewhere, and I'm asking, why is it lying somewhere? Why is it not working? And I'm trying to fix it. As far as trying to help my dad fix his tires, so I see him do the change of tires using the jack, trying to remove the nuts, and I'm like, can I do that as well? So the environment also helped me and channeled me into the path of the engineering. So I did my research and I found that, oh, if I always love helping people, raising my hands, trying to fix things, engineering will be best part. And thankful to my teacher, a very fond one, Mr. John, who really helped in channeling me towards that. So I had various engineering courses outlined. And because of my love for electronics, I decided to go for electrical electronics engineering. And it was really fantastic. But though the course was male dominated, we just have few ladies in class. And after that, I looked forward in expanding towards the communication aspects. And that required me to look around for courses on communication. So my intention was looking out for courses on telecommunication, satellite communication, and mobile communication. So if I could get a course that would do the three, based on my research, I was able to see two schools in the UK, University of Surrey and University of Bradford. So I enrolled to do my master's degree in personal mobile and satellite communication. And after that, went back to Nigeria, because I'm from Nigeria and born and raised in Nigeria. So working in the IT industry has really been helpful, and that has paid up to my communication focus currently with Avanade.
Wow. Sounds like a real journey. And when you went to university, did you find that it was the same in that the course was male dominating, and as opposed to, you know, women? What would you say the sort of ratio was?
Funny enough, my master's degree in the UK, I was the only female in class.
Right. Wow.
So it was something I was used to, because engineering courses is more like a male-dominated course. You just find few ladies doing that. So it wasn't strange to me, because I was already used to that back home in Nigeria. So that was it.
Well, sounds pretty cool. You know, obviously, you know, yeah. You're moving from obviously Nigeria over to Bradford, a place so you should know quite well, being a Yorkshire lass.
I do, yeah. Very much so.
Then obviously doing your course and then going back. I mean, what was the drive for going back and not staying and trying to find a job initially in the UK?
Okay, so the intention for me was I needed to go and study and see how the market, the communication market, the Europe market looks like. The plan for me was to go study and come back to replicate whatever I've learned in the communication aspect, bringing it back home to the industry I was working in. Already, I had a company I was working with, but I needed to expand, see how best I can merge telecommunications, satellite communications, mobile communications into the industry. And that was why I needed an expansion on that. And once I was done, I came back and started utilizing that. Although it wasn't an easy journey to merge the three, they are just different areas. But eventually I settled in with the mobile and telecommunication. Started out with video conferencing, deployment of Skype for Business, ensuring that organizations utilize these devices. So instead of organizations traveling from one place to the other to have their meetings, they can have their meetings in-house, probably communicating with their colleagues virtually, and eventually transition to Microsoft Teams. And that's how it has been rolling out for me all this while.
No, wicked. I mean, I'm originally from a Microsoft Link background. So yeah, Link 2010, doing Skype for Business. That was my bread and butter for a very long time. So you know, you're talking to someone who, yeah, I preach, you know, Teams and everything else, because communication is something that I love doing. I've actually got on my MS 721 exam next week. Yeah. So oh. Yeah, I'm going for that as well. But now,
all the best.
Yeah. Well, things are, I moved my exam just to try and do the open book, just to see if I could, you know, just to sit for one experience what it's going to be like doing an exam in the new style. But then also, I want the certification as well. So with you obviously going back to Nigeria, so obviously the first company you started with Shell is obviously a very big, well-known company. So you want to start how you kind of like building from there up through the different companies to where you are now?
Okay, so because studying engineering, there is always a point in time where you have to go for internship, just like a 6 months, for you to have an understanding what it looks like working in an organization. So I happened to get the opportunity to work with Shell. And I think because I loved the communication part, I was put into the telecommunication aspects of working in Shell. So what we do basically there was to manage all the telecoms infrastructure in Shell, and that broadened my horizon, because I was going there looking at myself as a female, thinking probably I'm going to do more of the office work, but I was thrown into the field to get my hands dirty into that, and fixing things, trying to make sure that the communication system was working well. And that was the starting point for me. And carrying that knowledge as well, going back to school, I had to work my projects, my thesis on that communication aspect. And that brought up the burden to dive more into communication. Because from the telecommunication aspect, there was a little bit of sometimes in Shell, they had issues with their satellite dishes and all that. So I was trying to understand how telecommunication, mobile communication, and satellite communication comes together. So that birthed the desire for that. After school, graduated, went to UK, did my master's, came back, and I started working in the communications aspect in Nigeria. Just like I made mention, we had the companies that are focused on satellite communications. We have companies focused on telecommunications. But because of my passion for the three, I was looking at how best can I fit in. So I didn't want to streamline to one particular part. So I was like, okay, let me start with probably the mobile communication, where I started out with an organization. First of all, I wanted to understand how customers work, right? Because customer is king and customer is important. So I started out with working with a networking organization that was based on contracts to understand how they provide networks to organizations and also to individuals, which happens to be the telecommunication part, and gradually navigating from there to becoming deploying Teams rooms, meeting room solutions using Skype and Teams. And for me, it was really a game changer. While I was doing all this, I was really enjoying it because it's an opportunity that I have to do multiple things at the same time. But the point where it changed for me was at the point where I intentionally moved from being an engineer to providing solutions for clients, being a solution architect, going to customer sites, trying to get information from customers, the challenges they are having, and trying to solve those problems. So that was the game changer for me. And while I was in the solution architect role, which comes with consulting as well, I gradually started expanding and growing as well in the technical part and also in the leadership part, and eventually having the opportunity to work in the African market. I also had the opportunity of working in the Middle East market. So I had the MEA. So I was like, I think I need to expand my market knowledge. Probably I should add Europe to it, which is EMEA. So I was open looking out for opportunities for jobs in Europe, and I was able to get one through LinkedIn. A fun fact, LinkedIn has really been helpful. 90% of the jobs I've had were from LinkedIn. Either someone reached out to me on LinkedIn, or one of my connections posted it, or I just saw the job post on LinkedIn. So that was how I moved to Europe and working with Avanade Ireland.
Oh, wicked. I'll say, you don't really see many women, especially in the communication space, that are solution architects. So the fact you've got to that level, is impressive. I'll say a hat off to you, because clearly you have the drive and the work ethic to basically go that. You know what you want, basically. You've gone out there and just achieved it. And then, as you say, you've moved over to Ireland to obviously pursue a career in Europe to continue what you love doing. Because I know that, obviously, as well, you've not only do, obviously, what you work for your organisation, Avanade, but you also do a lot of community stuff as well. Is that Comsverse doing a session, I believe?
Yeah, that's correct. So in the course of working as a solution architect back in Nigeria, I speak at conferences, but the conferences were not, most of them were not Microsoft specified. So like any technology conference, probably I'll go there and speak and also discuss with customers. So when I moved to Europe, I needed to understand how it works, the flow of things, in order to get myself in there. But before that, I raised my hands, I volunteer. I work with some NGOs like like Wentos, and what they do is encourage more women in tech. So we go back as far as reaching out to girls in school, encouraging them in tech, and getting them ready for tech STEM courses like science, technology, energy, and the likes. So that drew my passion into it. And the reason why I went into STEM was while I was studying engineering as a lady, which is a male-dominated course, I found out that when I left school, starting a job, sometimes I'm placed on a project and I'm the only female there. And sometimes you're trying to say something and you get to be spoken down or looked down at. And what I did was I went on LinkedIn and I started searching for females in engineering, women in tech. And that was how I got to see some of them. I've never met them. I've never spoken to them. But I made an effort to send connections to them. And lucky enough, most of them accepted my connections. And when I accepted their connection, I could also see their feeds. And that was, I could see opportunities if there are conferences and the likes. So when I moved to Europe, I wanted to also continue with that and also engage in speaking, community engagement speaking. So I think I went on LinkedIn and I started searching, and that was where I got to know about Zoe Wilson. She was trying to help community speakers, and I reached out to her, and they say history How did they say it? And that was it.
The rest was history.
The rest was history. Thank you. So it has been so amazing for me because the community speaking, majority of people have connected with on LinkedIn. When I go for the community speaking, I see them there. I try to put a face to the name and we interact. It's been so good. So what I did was for the community speaking, I started with the part where I'm comfortable with the areas of passion for you. So for me, I started with Microsoft Teams, the deployments, the introduction, and I had my first speaking engagement with Team 10X, and that was a virtual event, and had my first physical event at Comverse, and that has been going on and on for that. I also had an opportunity for Scottish Summit as well, and I'll be speaking at South Coast Summit.
I'll see you there. It'll be nice.
I'll see you there. So it's been really amazing, and I also use this opportunity to encourage any female who is trying to get into the community speaking, give it a try. No matter how small, whatever it is that you've learned, someone out there needs to hear that. So that has been it for me when it comes to community speaking.
That's quite a positive thing to say. I mean, every experience that you have in your career, there may be someone that's not had that similar like challenge or issue that you faced and obviously then resolved. I mean, I've said it a couple of times in this podcast where I was doing community sessions about what was the original Office Click to Run. So when OneDrive was called SkyDrive, and the amount of issues that I ran into, and then I started doing like public speaking sessions about that, which then took me to Amsterdam a couple of times to deliver a few sessions about it. I was surprised how many people were actually attending that session and was actually then asking me questions afterwards. So I was like, okay, clearly I'm not the only one that's been struggling with, the old way of doing Click to Run, because it was an absolute nightmare. I'm so glad it's better now, but it is a powerful thing to say. I mean, yeah, if you ever run into a problem and then you either blog about it or speak about it, there's always going to be someone that's going to learn from you, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think we've spoken to anyone who, from public speaking, they've had a negative experience, especially when it comes to doing things at the South Coast Summit and, in front of the community. I think it's always been a positive experience, and with the community, they're always very supportive. And you've obviously had the exact same experience. And as well, with LinkedIn, advice would be get a LinkedIn set up and really, exactly like what you did, reach out to the community and they'll always be welcoming. Yeah. I think that's the general, feel around the full, not just women in tech community, but the IT community in general.
Yeah, because the challenge people have is the imposter syndrome. I can't do this. But the truth is, even the people who speak at events, they do experience the imposter syndrome once in a while. So it's when you have interaction with them, they will probably have to share their story with you, and it encourages you. So for me, I see imposter syndrome as when you're trying to go beyond your limits, you're expanding your horizon, you will definitely experience imposter syndrome, doing something you haven't done before. But once you do that, you overcome that and you keep moving forward. So once you experience imposter syndrome, it's a sign that you're growing and you're expanding beyond your comfort zone.
Love that. Where do you think you get your sort of confidence and drive and motivations from?
Okay, so for me, I get my inspiration from women. When I see events and there are a lot of women talking, I get my drive from there because, this lady is doing this. That's encouraging. That is inspiring. Because when you look at the corporate world, climbing the ladder, you get to notice that there are fewer women who are leaders. And I'm really happy, and which is one of the reasons why I chose Avanade. Our CEO is a female. So it gives you the opportunity to see that you have the capability to get to that point. You have the capability to grow. So when I see female, this is not a side to the guys, no. But when I see female growing to the ladder, it encourages me. It helps me to see that I can do more. And the reason why it is so is based on probably maybe because of my engineering background, where there are few female in class. So I do my best when I see ladies or girls who are struggling with tech I try my best to encourage. And even if, no matter, you might not study engineering, you might not even study sciences, you might probably have a background with arts and the likes, and you decide to go into tech, it's just easy. Look out for the particular part you want to grow into and grow from there. So that encourages me. And also my family as well, they're always there encouraging me, because that was like a building platform for me. I made mention of helping my dad with changing tires. That really shaped me. Assuming I was spoken down on, I probably don't know if I'll be here speaking as well. Well, encouraging me, pushing me to be my very best. Family has always been helpful, and friends as well.
I think the likes of Zoe, I mean, Zoe's been on this podcast, and it's actually Zoe that recommended you to us and said that we should interview you. I mean, and well, I've obviously first come across Zoe obviously during the COVID period, where she was doing a lot more public speaking sessions online. And from that, you're going to see that obviously how much she's like basically grown within the community. She's now traveling all over the place doing sessions with I can't remember his name now, but one of her ex-colleagues from a previous company. So it just goes to show that, you know, and I've said it many times, if there's people in the community that people can identify against, especially women that are speaking at sessions, then it's going to attract more session submissions from other females. It's going to attract more attendance from females as well, because they're not going into an all-male dominated arena. Then it's basic, you know, I mean, it's still, you know, the split is what it is, but there's still going to be a lot more females going than there would normally. But especially when I look back in the days when I was running conferences and news groups, where it was heavily male dominated.
Yeah, I think it's encouraging, because when I went to Converse, being my first speaking engagement, I had the people from the community in the room. And at first I was a bit nervous, because it was the first time for me doing it in Europe. And because I had them in the room, I felt confident looking at them. Encouraged me to go over and beyond in delivering that. And by the time I was done, I was like, wow, was it that easy? So I think once you take the first step, it becomes easier. So I'm really happy with the community I have, and really encouraging, pushing me to go over and beyond. And whatever I've learned, I'm doing my best as well to replicate the same, to also encourage more women and help more women. Come across around my career path. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. When I first did my very first Skype for Business session, it was basically called watching your Skype for Business environment. So it's basically using SCOM and watching those to basically watch the serves and stuff. And obviously in that room was a lot of people that I knew, but they all are more technical than me, because they always had a higher position. So those all architects, I was like an implementation consultant at the time. So having them then understand, having them come to me afterwards and asking me questions about how it all works and the back end and asking for more information gave me a lot more confidence, even though these people that who obviously live and breed it didn't know as much as I knew at the time. And I felt, you know, that's one of the ways of tackling it. It's always look at something. If you want to go and do public speaking, look at something that people don't normally come across. Yeah. So people didn't use watch your nose greatly, but because I picked on that particular subject, went out and learned all about it, I then become a bit of a subject matter expert in it, and then help then others do it. So like you know, Pat Richards, who did the Skype for Business PowerShell script.
Yeah.
So he actually, I know Pat quite well, because I used to do the UC Architects podcast. So he actually then took elements of what I did in my session and the little scripts that I've done and put it into his script, and then that just shows, you know, I actually did something positive.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's always good.
Yeah, it is.
So you said that you're a modern work consultant now. I mean, describe to us, and so the audience can know, your day to day, and appreciate as a consultant, every day is different, but what does your day to day look like?
So as a modern workplace consultant, my day-to-day activity looks, first of all, get into a project, a client, try to understand what the client wants, the challenges that the clients are having, start the deployment. So if you probably meet a customer based on the way you've been assigned to a project and you're trying to help a customer probably move them from on-premise to cloud. And while you're doing that, have an interaction with the clients. If there are, and look out for opportunities, maybe change is something that is challenging for organization. So an organization that has moved from on-premise to cloud, they might not start utilizing the whole services, the Microsoft technologies and the like. So have interaction with them and see where you can help them with the technologies, bring about adoption and how they can gradually adopt into that. So for me, my day-to-day is go to client side, have meetings with clients, solve problems for them, ensure that they're happy with the technology, the Microsoft technology that they have, the licenses, ensuring that they're utilizing it. Sometimes it might not be easy, like going back and forth, but trying to bring up opportunities for the client, letting them see, oh, you have this license, you have this technology in your environment. Why not look at it this way, utilize it this way? And it creates more opportunities, solving problems, helping them realize the benefit of what they have. I think that is it for me, because as a modern workplace consultant, we don't have, like, it differs. So some days you're trying to solve a problem, the next day you're trying to solve another problem, just as the case might come up for the client. So, and which makes it easier and fun for me, because what I did today might be different from what I'm going to do tomorrow. So it keeps me up my toes, and there's a whole lot of learning, a lot of experience around that.
Yeah, I guess when you're talking to customers day in, day out, my next question was, you know, how do you keep up with it all? Because it's constantly changing, and, you know, the training side of things, like Andrew was saying, him doing exams and keeping up with the certs and stuff. How do you manage that all, and how do you keep up with it?
Yeah, so what I do is at least every week, once a week, I dedicated time to read up on the technologies, because some, for example, recently, Microsoft Azure AD has been changed to Entra. So mm-hmm. if you're not keeping up,
I don't even want to touch that subject. I understand the Microsoft reasons for it. I had this conversation in the last podcast episode. It's just, just Microsoft and name changes. Just go away.
Yeah. So
just keep it as it is, please.
So what I do, like every week, once a week, I try to take out my time, look out for keep myself abreast with technology, the recent things that are happening, what is new on Teams, what is new in this particular service or apps. So what it does, it helps me to keep abreast on whatever that is happening. And yes, in as much as you're doing your projects, you're trying to deliver at client side, it's also important to upskill yourself. And the good thing is, once you've written a Microsoft certification exam, you have like 1 year to renew that. So go to Microsoft Learn, do a refresher to keep you abreast. So that's what I do. And also do some research. What's the graph like? What's the next thing happening in various organizations? So for example, regarding the telecommunication, what's happening around the hybrid workplace? The hybrid workplace is already here to stay. How are employees working around it? How are employers trying to help employees get around? So for example, early this year, I took it upon myself to play around and have understanding how I can enhance my well-being in the workplace. And I started utilizing Viva Insight, and it hasn't really been helpful for me. It's just trying to get my hands dirty in technology. And whatever I've learned, I also reached out to my colleagues, letting them know, this is what I've learned. I think it will be good for you as well on how you can enhance your well-being. So that's just it. You have to make a deliberate effort to keep researching and reading.
Yeah. And what does your future look like? What are your short or long-term plans within your career?
Okay, so I, coming from Nigeria, where I was working as a solution architect, coming here in Europe, I want to grow being a solution architect here. In Avanade, to understand how Avanade works, because definitely it's different. The way we solution architect in Nigeria, it's different from the way it's done here. So I'm looking at my career path is looking at growing towards that solution architect part, to be a solution architect here at Avanade and growing towards that path.
Yeah, When you say that it's different, just expand on that a little bit more.
So when I say it's different, the market is different, and the way so for organization is different from the way they have their plans and the way they carry out their own activities. So for me, it's about learning, unlearning, and relearning. There are a lot of similarities, but I just want to learn the way Avana does the solution architect and growing from there.
So Avana obviously are a massive organization. I say we've spoken to quite a few people now from Avana on this podcast, and me being an ex-Orange myself, I know, you know, how much they invest in their staff, all the tooling that they basically make available, the lunch and learn sessions that I do as well. I've basically attended and actually delivered my sessions myself. You know, they are a very good business, and I see a lot of people that I know in the community have moved over to them over time. So obviously Zoe's there, as you mentioned. I saw a couple of people, some of the Viva Explorers that are based in the UK, moved over to Avanade as well. Yeah. So yeah, it is quite a powerful place to be, definitely.
Yeah.
As you say, it's good that obviously, you know, the CEO is a female, and she's very active within Avanade as well.
Yeah.
I want to touch on something which kind of like we haven't really gone too much detail into. Is obviously as a woman in tech working in Nigeria, we've never really spoken to a guest from the African region who's basically lived and worked in an African country. So what's the women in tech community like there? And how does it differ to what you're experiencing now moving over to the UK?
Okay, so the women in tech in Nigeria is almost the same here in Europe. Though the women in tech more organized by Google. So we have women in tech regions from Google in the various schools. We also have user groups on Microsoft Technology Spaces. We have user groups on Dynamics, user groups on Power Platform, user groups on Microsoft 365 in Nigeria. There are few female there, but it's coming up. We're growing. I won't say it's 50-50, but of the percentage, it's almost close to that of the male. And the community in there in Nigeria, it's also helping women as well. There are a lot of women there. We have quite a number of MVPs who are females from Nigeria as well. So I would say it's almost the same. It's almost the same, but we can't still compare the percentage. The male are still much, but encouraging more women to get in there, it's always the key, which I made mention, going to schools. So back in Nigeria, go to schools, encouraging more ladies or more girls to join tech and STEM as well. So here in Europe, I think for the conferences I've been to, I've seen more female compared to the ones I've been to in Nigeria. But one thing I love here in Europe is the diversity and inclusion, which is also included in conferences. So you go to conferences, it's not only a particular set. There are people from different cultures, different background, and it gives you opportunity to learn. In Nigeria, is just majorly Africans, but here in Europe, you see Africans, you see the whites and people from different countries as well. So you get to meet them and see how they organize their own conferences back home. And when we all meet together, you get to hear different experiences from people. So I think just it's just the difference because there are multiple people from different cultures and background or countries. But in Nigeria, it's mostly the Africans.
Good. And so I'm literally just going through with every guest, we basically send out like a Microsoft form and ask a couple of questions. So I've literally just been like reading through some of them, and I didn't actually click on this one until just reading it just. So we asked a question like, who inspires you in the community? So you've listed like a few names like Zoe, Sarah, they've all been on this podcast, Heather, Karuna, Laurie, the Viva Explorers community. And then there's a line just below that I only just realised, and you put, the team behind the Microsoft Spotlight podcast community inspires me as well, promoting diversity, equality, inclusion.
Yeah.
And I'll thank you for that, because it's obviously nice.
Obviously, When I got the invite, I had to do a research about Microsoft Spotlight podcast, and I took time to go through the YouTube videos and watch the various women, and everyone's story was different. Mm-hmm. It was really encouraging and inspiring for me, and I could see the diversity and inclusion in there. You were not only, the team wasn't only focusing on specific people. You want to get to understand the stories behind different women. And it was really encouraging for me. I was like, okay, that's fine. This is also encouraging for me. So that was like thumbs up. I was like, I have to say thank you to the team for coming up with this. I don't know how the idea came up, but it's a brilliant one. And I really love it.
So the idea was literally, I wanted to do a podcast many, many moons ago when I was a Skype for Business MVP. And I never got around to actually doing it. So I used to be involved in the UC Architects podcast. I'm not too sure if I've ever heard of that. And that was basically a very popular podcast that ran for a couple of years. And over time, people's careers changed, lives changed. And I was just doing all the editing in the background for it. I think out of the 70 plus episodes, I've probably been on two. Because I did all the editing in the background to help out. But then when I started looking at doing a podcast myself, it's like, well, I'm from a diverse background. So, I want to start interviewing all different people from the community, from the MVP community, the Microsoft community, and just walk away as we are today. And then it was like, well, kind of need a theme. So when John basically finished badgering me for a whole entire year, asking me, when are you doing the podcast? We thought, okay, we'll do the theme of women in tech to start off with, and then it's literally just spiraled to what it is today. We're just purely talking to women every single week. I mean, the amount of episodes we've got booked in over the next couple of weeks is just absolutely mental. I mean, I'm doing three in one day next week, so that's going to be some good going now. So I think what I need to do for that episode, right, for everyone listening, you see me on that episode, I'm literally going to change my T-shirt every day.
Yeah, you need to.
Three tops in a day. A different day. So I love doing this podcast. I think it's brilliant, and having people resonate with it and just basically look at what we're doing and appreciate what we're doing is just exactly what it's all about.
Yeah, that's nice. Well done to you and the Cheers. Team.
Well done to you as well, and your career path and journey is really inspiring. So I hope you know that you are.
Thank you.
Right, I'm going to throw in there John's question that you seem to be putting in the episode. So I would like to know, it's a two-part question. Has there been a period in your career where you've faced something that was really challenging and really difficult, and how did you overcome it?
Okay, so I think for me, it was at the early stage of my career, because I see myself as a multi-potentialite person. Coming out of school, I was, where do I fit in? So I started out with customer service, networking engineer, telecommunication. So when I do this, when I started out as a network engineer, I was like, at a point, it was a bit boring to me. I moved to telecommunication. It started getting boring, and I moved into software program and as a software developer, wrote programs on Python. It was boring. And at that point, I was a bit confused because I didn't know where I would fit in best. So eventually, I went back to telecommunication and started doing more research. And I was like, okay, fine. Since you love helping out people. So I reached out to some of my career mentors, because I have mentors in different areas of my life. I reached out to some of my career mentors. I'm like, this is what the challenge I'm going through. I don't know how best I can move around this. So one of my career mentor, she explained to me, she went through the same thing. And she said, I should write down those things that I'm passionate about and drive it with my passion. So looking at my passion, I want to help people solving problems. And I get bored easily. So I have to do something that will keep me up and running. Whatever I do today shouldn't be the same as what I'm doing tomorrow. So I was like, okay, fine. Let me go back to telecommunication. And that was when I started telecommunication and started growing into it, and with the part of using Skype for Business, meetings for clients, and that got me interested. And I've been growing to that part, growing towards the consulting. So being a consultant, it's always an interesting and unique opportunity, because whatever you're solving today will be definitely different from tomorrow. So it gives you opportunity to learn. So that was the part that was hard for me. And I'm happy that I was able to go through that. So what I'm doing regarding that is, whenever, like, I'm volunteering for JI, is Junior Achievement, where girls or students, mostly my mentee is a girl, when they are at the point where they're almost done with school and they're confused on where they should go to. So it was easier for me to understand, to help them. Oh, this is what you love doing. This is what you're passionate with. Can you write it down? What are the things you have to do? Let's see how we can merge one or two passions together, and probably you'll find out what you want to do. So I believe probably when we go through challenges, it helps us to solve problems for the next person around us. So that was the most challenging part for me in my career path.
Okay, cool. So the next part of the question, what's your biggest career highlight today?
I think my biggest career highlights, I've always had fantastic ones, but okay. So my biggest career highlight is working and also making impact in the community. I think that has been it for me. So whatever I've learned, passing that on to people, making people understand this is what is happening. So the community speaking. So I feel fulfilled. I feel fulfilled when I do something and the next person by my side experiences that or learns from it. So working and also contributing to community makes me fulfilled. I think that's the biggest highlight for me. And it never stops, because the more you learn, the more you want to contribute to the community. And it's not a paid event. It's just, or it's not a paid stuff. It's something that happens. You give volunteer, give voluntarily to it. You're not paid for it. So that gives me joy, making sure that people are happy. Sometimes when I think that birthed me having a blog, I solve a problem and I searched all over and I couldn't see that. I could write on it. Even if there was something I learned from it, I could also write and tag other blogs that were helpful to me when I was trying to solve that problem. So just giving back is the biggest highlight for me so far. Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, when I was obviously doing Skype for Business Consultancy, I used to write my own blog. And in the, I think it's a Link 2010 cookbook, there's a few bits in there actually link back to my old blog, where basically here's the section about what the problem, about the actual solution. And then here's a link to someone who's gone and installed it or has challenges with it. And stuff like that. It makes you feel good about yourself. It makes you feel like you're actually helping.
Yeah, my
PC has decided to basically die in itself. So I've got a nice blue screen of death. So thankfully, I joined on my other device as well. So, you know, I can quickly switch back. I have one more question to finish up this episode. So normally I ask this question directed to the actual person itself, but I'm going to basically change it. So normally I basically ask, you know, if you had a time machine and go back and speak to your previous self, what advice would you give? But because obviously we've never had anyone on our podcast from the African region, what I want to know, what advice you'll basically give to younger girls coming through, through Nigeria and other places, what advice you'll basically give to them if they want to basically follow a similar career path to you?
Okay, what I would say is, do not shortchange yourself. Give it a try. You can do it. Everything is possible. Just give it a try. So the reason why I said that is sometimes when we want to, as females, when we want to do something or go the extra mile, we tend to have imposter syndromes because it's something we haven't done before. So my advice would be, give it a try. Give it your best shot. Reach out to people. Raise your hands to volunteer. It might not be probably, even though it's not in your career path, but you have a plan that you want to get to this point, reach out to people, find out people who are already doing that. I believe in standing on the shoulders of people who have gone ahead of you. It helps you to go far. Utilize LinkedIn, go on LinkedIn. There are people, whatever it is that you want to do, someone has done it. Or someone, yeah, you're not the first doing it. Even though you might strategize your own path or create your own path, but there is someone who has done something similar and can help you. So utilize your network, go on LinkedIn, reach out to people, don't be afraid. When you send connections and you don't get, sometimes your connections you send, you might stay for months. Don't give up. Just keep sending connections, keep reaching out to people. And people are always out there to help. So give it your very best and take one step at a time, because sometimes what we sometimes worry about the future. And once we worry about the future, it snaps us of enjoying the season we are in at the moment. So take one step at a time and you will get there. I think that would be the advice to younger people.
Awesome. Well, I just want to say, obviously, thank you for obviously joining me and Sophie today. Even though I had some technical issues and my PC decided to die on me, but hey ho, it is what it is. No, it's been good to obviously have a conversation with you, and obviously I'll get to meet you in a month's time. So hopefully, this episode should be out before then, because I think I've got that many episodes that recorded, and I've just edited another one today. I think I'm just going to kind of release them as soon as they're done. So this one would be out, you know, probably before Safe Coast Summit. So everyone has listened to it now. Hopefully you listened to it on the drive to Safe Coast. And, you know, please do come and attend our sessions and show your love and support. And hopefully, if you see me on the Saturday, I might be worse or wear in a happy state, or I might just be a little bit down because I didn't win the Social Impact Award that we've been nominated for, which, you know, I'm incredibly... proud about. It's nice that the community voted the Spotlight Podcast for a Social Impact Award, and it's the other two finalists on that list as well. They've both been on this podcast, so, and I've got nothing but great respect for both of them, so I wish them all the best of luck as well in the award.
Well, it will still be a good thing to be part of the finalists. Well, yeah. We're rooting for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many wicked names on there, and people that, you know, have been doing work as long as us. So for all three of us on this podcast to be voted for a Social Impact Award is, I can't thank everyone enough, really.
Yeah.
But if I do win the award, I'll make sure at my session at 1 o'clock, I'll be there holding it up high. Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
Still drunk.
Yeah, everyone is waiting and looking out for the results. So let's see.
Now, to be fair, though, if I do win that award, I would like to try and, get everybody that's attending, that's been on this podcast, just have a photo with us and the award, because, you know, we wouldn't be able to do this podcast without them. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a thank you for them allowing us to share their stories on this platform.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
So, right, we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. And Sophie, I'll speak to you on whatever next episode I'll see you on. And I'm not even going to try.
Next week, but
we've got many next week.
Yeah,
right.
I've got one next week. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Microsoft Spotlight Podcast. Please make sure you hit that like, share, and subscribe button to help us promote our message. You can also follow us on Twitter at MSFTSpotlight. And we're also on LinkedIn, the Microsoft Spotlight Podcast. And finally, we'd like to tell you a little bit about BitTitan and thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Remote migrations start here. Let MigrationWiz do the work for you. It's fast, secure, and 100% SaaS, which means you can migrate at any time and from anywhere. Migrate mailboxes, documents, public folders, personal archives, or even Microsoft Teams with just a few clicks. No special training needed, and no customer downtime. When the work matters, choose MigrationWiz.